ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Text 10, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Also, cell phones off, please. Bhavadvidha Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayang Vibho Tirthi Kuravanti Tirthani Svanta Sthena Gadabhrita. This verse is spoken by Yudhishthira Maharaj to Vidura. Vidura is returning after pilgrimage to many holy places. He says, "My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart. You turn all places into places of pilgrimage." Purport. The personality of Godhead is omnipresent by his diverse potencies everywhere, just as the power of electricity is distributed everywhere within space. Similarly, the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by his unalloyed devotees like Vidura, just as electricity is manifested in an electric bulb. A pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. He sees everything in the potency of the Lord and the Lord in everything. The holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of the human being by an atmosphere surcharged with the presence of the Lord's unalloyed devotees. If anyone visits a holy place, he must search out the pure devotees residing in such holy places, take lessons from them, try to apply such instructions in practical life, and thus gradually prepare oneself for the ultimate salvation, going back to Godhead. To go to some holy place of pilgrimage does not mean only to take a bath in the Ganges or Yamuna, or to visit the temples situated in those places. One should also find representatives of Vidura who have no desire in life save and except to serve the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruitive action or utopian speculation. They are in the actual service of the Lord, specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. The pure devotees hear from the authorities and chant, sing, and write of the glories of the Lord. Mahamuni Vyasadeva heard from Narada, and then he chanted in writing. Shukadeva Goswami studied from his father, and he described it to Parikshit. That is the way of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, by their actions, the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage, and the holy places are worth the name only on their account. Such pure devotees are able to rectify the polluted atmosphere of any place, and what to speak of a holy place rendered unholy by the questionable actions of interested persons who try to adopt a professional life at the cost of the reputation of a holy place. Bhavadvidha Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Prabho Tirthi Kuravanti Tirthani Svanta Sthena Gadabhrita. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart. You turn all places into places of pilgrimage. This is a well-known verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, quite often quoted. It's clearly suitable for speaking in a holy place such as this. And thank you to all the devotees for coming here to this holy place. And we apologize for some inconveniences that some of you are facing in not getting rooms until 11 o'clock. We ask you to... Anyway, you will tolerate. And just remember that in previous times people went to much, much more difficulty to visit holy places. Previously no one would go to a holy place except by foot. So if you wanted to come from, for instance, Salem in South India to Somnath, you may think it's a long journey, 2 days or something by train, but it would be probably at least 2 months if you had to do it the traditional way. What to speak of coming from Europe? That would be probably minimum 2 years. As you may know, I made one book called On Pilgrimage in Holy India. In the dedication, I wrote dedicated to Srila Prabhupada. Shelter at whose holy feet is more valuable than visiting millions of holy places. Obviously the greatest thing that ever happened to me in this life, and as many births as I have taken in this material world, unlimited number of births, the best thing that ever happened to me is, by Srila Prabhupada's own causeless mercy, being accepted as an apprentice at his lotus feet. And I often think the second best thing that happened to me in this life, by his mercy, was to have the opportunity to prosecute devotional service in this holy land now known as India, because it is the best place in the universe for practicing spiritual life. There are many reasons for that. One reason is that there are so many holy places. However, we see that in this verse which we just read, that Yudhishthira says to Vidura, you yourself are a Tirtha, holy place. Tirtha is translated as holy place. Interestingly, Srila Prabhupada in this purport says there are holy places all over the world. Sometimes all over the world in Shastra that seems to refer specifically to this Bharata Bhumi, this area between Himalaya and what? Kanyakumari? Usually it said Setu Bandha is considered the southernmost point, although it's not geographically the southernmost point. And then we have from the Arunachal, the sunrise hill in the east. There are several on the eastern side of India. More or less we can say from Ganga Sagar in the east and to the west up to the Sindh, which is now in Pakistan, so that's the area of India. But all over the world you can go, and holy places. I remember once I was traveling in Italy from one place to another by road with my godbrother Supta Vigraha, and he would take me, time to time he would stop in this place and that place just to see the churches, because they're so beautiful. That's a good answer to the atheists. Churches in Italy in particular are tend to be very elaborate and spectacular works of art. So that in itself is a challenge to the atheist. If there's no God, then what's the inspiration for all these beautiful churches and temples and the devotion of people who made them? But particularly in India, there's knowledge of God also, and guidance on how to reach Him. So the holy people make the holy place. Tirtha literally means ford. Nowadays, if we say in English ford, mostly people think of a car, but the original meaning is a place in a river which is shallow enough that it can be crossed by walking through it. It's a crossing place at a river. So a tirtha is a place which is very convenient to cross from this material world to the spiritual world. Therefore it's called a tirtha. So in India there are so many, and although Yudhishthira Maharaj here says that Vidura, you're a holy place, it's not that the holy places are unimportant. Vidura went to the holy places. Of course, such a pure devotee, he purifies a holy place. We may think, how can you purify a holy place? Because a holy place is holy. But the sinful reactions of people, they dump their sinful reactions in holy places. And also, as Srila Prabhupada hints at in his purport here, there may be many unholy places, unholy people in holy places. People who are there for commercial purposes. They take advantage of people's religious sentiments to extract money from them in the name of God, but actually they use it for their own sense gratification. One holy place in South India I visited some time ago, and that is particularly frequented by votaries of Ayyappa Swami, who are males. Men only allowed, only prepubal girls and postmenopausal women are allowed, otherwise just men. So that they travel around these people, they're married men, but they take a 40-day vow to visit all holy places, culminating in Sabarimalai. So this place was in Karnataka, and I was told that is a great place of prostitution, because so many men are coming, they're supposed to be following a vow for 40 days, no meat eating, no sex, no intoxication, even cigarettes, but just in case they can't do it properly, there are plenty of prostitutes to help them out. So that's not very holy. So pure devotees, they don't dwell on such things. If they go to a holy place, they look for the holy things. They don't look for the bad things. But they themselves purify the atmosphere by themselves going. So Vidura, in his own mind, he doesn't think now I'm going to go and purify the holy places. He thinks, I'm going to visit the holy places and be purified. That is his attitude. The particular mahima, or the description of the glories of, or the why Somnath is special. Why this place? Why not anywhere else? The last stop on coming on this, or the last major stop on the train coming from Ahmedabad was Keshod. So why didn't we go to Keshod instead of here? Why here? What's so special? That will be narrated a little later by Jai Damodar Prabhu. Somnath, Prabhas, that will be described. the particular specialty of each place. So this is particularly known as a Shiva Kshetra, place of Lord Shiva. And as with many Shiva Leelas, there's also, it's the whole story is mixed up with Krishna. Krishna at Prabhas, there's a particular pastime is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Maybe this is one Leela which we don't like to talk about very much, what happened at Prabhas. Anyway, you'll hear about that later. Now, in the Shastras, in the Puranas, many holy places are described. And in Mahabharata, there's a whole section describing. In the Nrisimha Purana, there's a section describing so many different holy places. And at the end of that, Suta Goswami, we know Suta Goswami from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Purana, but we'll find that he is the narrator in many of the Puranas. So in Nrisimha Purana, he, after describing so many holy places, he says, Mano Nirmalata Tirtham, Tirtham Indriya Agraha, Guru Sushushanam Tirtham, Matri Sushushanam Tirtha, Swadharma Acharanam Tirtham, Tirtham Agnerupasanam. He said that, okay, I described so many holy places, but the best Tirtha is the purified mind. If the mind is free from contamination, free from attachment, material attachment, raga dibi, that means material attachment, that means basically kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, all the material contaminations. A pure mind, that is the best tirtha. Truthfulness, compassion, control of the senses, guru sushushana and matri sushushana, that means service attitude to the guru and to the mother, swadharma acharanam, the following one's own particular dharma, this means according to varnashram dharma, and worshipping the fire. He says this is the real tirtha. In other words, if one is properly executing dharma in pure consciousness, then that in itself is the best of tirthas. And then it may not be necessary to go to any tirtha. But still, going to tirthas is very much part of the Vedic culture. And we'll find in all religious systems throughout the world, there are tirthas. Here in India, there are many. In Gujarat state, there are many Jain tirthas. There are Buddhist tirthas in India, Nepal, Sri Lanka. Very well known, the Muslims' most famous holy place. But they here in India also, they have for the Shias, this Dargah at Ajmer is the biggest for the Muslims in all of South, for the Shias in all of South Asia. And of course the Christians also have so many holy places. So that's a natural tendency for a religious person to want to go to the places which they hear about, that Jesus went here, or Muhammad, peace be upon him, was here. They like to go to they like to go and see. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says, Gaur Amara Jeshabashtane. What is that? Jeshabashtane Karalo Brahmanaronge. Sheshabashtana Heribo Ami pranai bhakata sanga. He says that I desire, as part of the favorable parts of devotional service, I desire to visit all the holy places visited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I desire to visit all those places in the company of loving devotees. In another song, he says, Gaurangera Borjito Desh Tirthanahimani. In the Sharanagati, the section favorable Anukulya, what is favorable for devotional service, he mentions going to places which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has visited. This is very favorable for cultivating devotional service. Then in the unfavorable section, he says that I do not consider any holy place not visited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I don't consider it a tirtha. So that would include Somnath. So what are we doing here? Well, Nityananda visited here, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back later in Srila Prabhupada's Padyatra. So he came later. In the Bhagavatam, there's a very well-known verse spoken by Krishna about holy places. There's a less that's Svadhi Kala Tradish. I'll say that later. But there's another one in where he says that Nahyam Mayani Tirtanina Deva Mritchila Mayaha Tepunant Yuru Kalena Darshanad Eva Sadhavaha. He said that mere bodies of water are not the real sacred places of pilgrimage. In pilgrimage places, the water is very important, because the first thing you have to do when you come to a holy place is to bathe in the sacred water there. They all have water. So many of the holy places, they're holy because they're on the bank of the Ganga or the Jamuna. Or if they're not, then they're just like in so many temples in South India, there's a Pushkarini, a man-made lake, and you have to take bath there first of all. But Krishna says it's not the water that makes it holy. And it's not that there is a deity there made out of earth or stone that particularly makes it worshipable. These purify after a long time, but saintly persons purify one immediately upon being seen. Gangara parashohele paschate pavan darshane pavitrakara eitomargun. Narottam Das says the same thing. You can get all the teachings of Shastra, we can get through the songs of Narottam Das and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Everything's there. Of course, it may need to be expanded and explained more. So he says the same thing, that by bathing in the Ganga, which is generally thought to be the most purifying activity, but it purifies, it takes time to be purified. That means that you have to again and again and again. But simply by seeing a great pure devotee, one can immediately be purified. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastri Koi. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. In just a flash, short time, one can be purified by associating with great devotees. Then Krishna, he says, that association with devotees is more, it's better for purification. And he goes on to explain in the next verse after that. Na agnya na suryo na cha chandra taraka na bhurjalang khang svashano tavan manaha upasita abheda krito harantya ghang vipaschito gnanti muhurta sevaya. Neither the demigods controlling fire, the sun, the moon, and the stars, big personalities, very big personalities. I saw here, just as I came out after Mangalati, there was a jeep with the writing was the collector of Rajkot district. Means a big man. In the state government of Gujarat, he's a big man. There's so many big people come here. But much bigger than them are the demigods. If he's controlling in some aspects of the district of Rajkot, a district in Gujarat, then how much bigger is the controller of the fire, the sun, the moon? Very big personalities, no doubt. So neither such demigods nor those in charge of the earth, water, fire, air, speech and mind actually remove the sins of their worshippers, who continue to see in terms of dualities. But wise sages destroy one's sins when respectfully served for even a few moments. Now, it's stated here that even the demigod of speech doesn't remove the sin of the worshipper. The demigod of the speech is Vak, means speech, Sarasvati. And those who worship her, they can become highly learned. Often a highly learned person in Vedic knowledge, they are decorated with the title Sarasvati, which means they are blessed by Sarasvati. They become very learned. So if you are very learned in Vedic literature, then we should think then you should know what is what is right. Purification comes from knowledge. Nahi jnaneina sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, there's nothing as purifying in this world as knowledge. So Sarasvati gives knowledge, helps one to acquire that knowledge. But here Krishna says that one cannot remove the sins of their worshippers who continue to see in terms of dualities. So one may be very learned in the Vedic literature, but still see in terms of duality. It's quite common that one becomes proud upon becoming learned, even though actual knowledge, vidya dadati vinayam, actual knowledge gives humility. If one becomes proud, then he's not actually learned, even though he may know thousands of shlokas and how to explain them some way or other. But if someone thinks, I'm very great, I'm very learned, I'm a brahmana, this is a shudra, this is a chandal, then he's not really learned anything, hasn't understood anything. But the wise sages destroy one's sins. Now, seeing in terms of duality, here it's said that sins can't be removed because one sees in terms of duality. In Gita also, Yeshang Tandagatang Pa Pamjana Nang Punya Karma Nam Te Dvanva Moha Nirmukta Vajanti Mam Dritavrataha. Persons can properly worship me, Krishna says, who are free from the who have performed pious activities and who are free from sinful reactions and who are free from duality. Duality thinking in terms of I am this body, I am different to others. Generally people think I'm better than others. Not seeing the oneness between themselves and all other living beings in Krishna, as the servant of Krishna. So these two are related. It's as long as one maintains an attitude of separateness from Krishna, or does not recognize oneself, or does not submit oneself fully in the service of Krishna, then one maintains an attitude that I belong to this material world, and then the exploitive spirit comes. This, so duality, what is good for me? Just as I was speaking, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is speaking about what is favorable for devotional service, what is unfavorable. But the materialistic people, they also think in terms of what is favorable and what is unfavorable. But they don't think of what's favorable for my devotional service. They think what is favorable for my sense gratification. What is unfavorable for my sense gratification. So this attitude, the mind, is always thinking in terms of accepting and rejecting, in terms of my sense gratification. And this very attitude itself is sin. It's the root of all sin, and it leads to actual sinful activities. So even though someone may be very learned in the Vedic scriptures and be able to defeat others in argument, he's still ignorant, maybe willingly ignorant, of his relationship with Krishna, and therefore commits all kinds of sins, such as offending the devotees. So they say, what is it? Devotees, what is it? What are they singing? They don't know anything. They're all low class people. They may have such an attitude, and they become very sinful. Pride, the pride of learning, gives rise to very sinful, offensive mentality. Dhane jane panditye krishnere nahi pai keval bhaktiya bosh chaitanya goshai. By money, by popularity or power over others, by learning, one cannot attain Krishna. Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, becomes controlled by bhakti, by the submission of his devotees. This most amazing fact, which places Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings at the highest level of all philosophical and theological teachings, the teaching that greater than God is love of God, because it brings him under control, which is it's inconceivable to the average believer in God. They cannot imagine. God means the greatest, but there is greater. Greater. And how, if something's greater, then how can God be God? So that is his greatness. That is a facet of his greatness, that he's controlled by love. And therefore, aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. This is spoken by Lord Shiva, who is here. This is the place of Lord Shiva. Resolving the question. There are so many great gods and goddesses, the worship of whom is the greatest? The worship of Vishnu, said it clearly. But there is something greater. The worship of those who are not even regularly worshipped. They're not considered gods. They're not gods or goddesses in the way that Shiva, Durga, who are having this conversation, or Indra, Shachi, Chandra, Vayu, they're not gods in that way. They may be very ordinary people. There may be this Kolabecha Shrita, was Sudama Vipra from, we have Sudama Puri just north of here. If you go on the way to Dwarka by road, you can stop there. He was very, very poor. Then in the next time with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became as Kolabecha Shrita. He made a living, his name was Shrita, and he made a living by selling bananas and banana leaves and banana cups. In Bengal, bananas grow everywhere. Even if you don't cultivate them, they just grow. Banana trees just grow. Wild. So you can't make much of a living by selling bananas. You can't be... It's not a good profession to make lots of money. He was very, very poor. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he showed his 21 hours, he showed his majesty sitting on this Singhasana, the throne of Vishnu in the house of Sri Vash Thakur. He showed his opulences as Narayan. He called Sridhar, who this Nimai Pandit, he was so cruel, seemingly, that he forcibly took vegetables and fruit from Sridhar daily. Even though the Sridhar had nothing, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm a Brahmin, I'm taking it. You don't say anything. So he appeared to be very cruel, but then he showed to all the devotees that he is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead and said, so Sridhar, here I am, I'm God. What do you want? I can give you whatever you want. What do you want? You want like Dhruva, some kingdom greater than Brahma? What do you want? What do you want? No, I don't know. I'll stay selling my vegetables. Because if he doesn't sell vegetables, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu won't come to steal them. So he preferred to sell the bananas and vegetables. I'll be like that. But I only desire that that Brahmin boy who comes and harasses me every day will continue to do so. That was his prayer. So such devotees, they conquer Krishna. That is a quality of pure devotional service, that Krishna is conquered by the love of his devotees. Therefore, one who comes in the association of devotees, they can be purified immediately. They have more purifying power than even Vishnu himself, which sounds, it might sound even blasphemous to those who do not know the quality of Vishnu, of Krishna, that he gives himself to his devotee. So the devotee, he may not give himself to anyone very easily. That is one of the qualities of pure devotional service. Sudurlabham, very rarely attained. Krishna doesn't give himself very easily. He can give, if you want money or even liberation from this material world from Krishna, he may give that very easily. But he doesn't give bhakti very easily, because by that he becomes controlled. But the devotee is he's the agent, the broker, on behalf of Krishna, who gives Krishna. Even Krishna won't give himself, but Krishna se toma, Krishna dite paro, tomara shakati ache. The devotee has the power to give Krishna. So the devotee here in Bhagavatam, the topmost teaching is that there are so many holy places, but the best holy place is the devotee. Even a moment's association can purify. But that purification, that may take various forms. The duality in the mind, thinking in terms of I, me and mine, aham mameti, which binds one in this material world and causes one to perform sinful activities, that is, one becomes purified by that, by association with devotees. How does that work? It works because it may not just be that you see the devotee and you feel some electric shock going through your body and then you faint and then you wake up and you're a pure devotee. That's not the standard method described in Shastra. The Shastra describes, Krishna himself again describes, in the 11th canto, we'll find so many important teachings of Krishna there. Tato dusangam utsricha. What is the next line? I wrote it down because I always forget it. Satsu sajeta buddhiman. Santa evasya chindanti. Manovya sangam uktibihi. Someone who has seen the nature of this material world. What is the nature of this material world? Nothing good. It's simply a place of illusion and suffering. So having understood this, one who's actually intelligent, He doesn't think, okay, well, it's pretty bad, but let me try to enjoy it the best I can. He doesn't think like that. One who is actually intelligent associates with devotees. And what does he get from the association? The devotees, they cut to pieces his material attachments by their words. So generally we think that devotees should speak very sweetly. You speak of Krishna, it's very sweet. But they may speak some things which are not very, don't sound very sweet. May sound very harsh for cutting the material attachments. So that's what I've, oh, I didn't say that. That's this, I said those verses. Krishna said that simply going to a holy place doesn't purify in and of itself. One has to associate with devotees. And then there was a two verse in a row, and then the third verse after that is a very well-known verse which summarizes. Krishna says, Yasyatma buddhi kunape tridhatu ke swadhi kalatra deshue bhoma ijadhihi yatirta buddhi salale nakar hijijanesh vabhineshu sa eva gokaraha. Krishna says that one who thinks that the body is the self, this body which is just in Ayurvedic analysis a combination of cough, the mucus bile under, one who thinks of that as himself, one who thinks of his land of birth as being worshipable, janani janma bhumischa swargam eva gariyasi. It's also Sanskrit, but it's nonsense. It's not that everything said in Sanskrit, just because you say something in Sanskrit, it becomes transcendental. So to say that my land of birth and my mother better than heaven, no, it's just the same. They're both completely useless. So one who thinks my land of birth, it's worshipable. You have to be a little careful here because Republic Day is coming up, so we don't want to say too much against nationalism. But actually, it's nonsense. And it's a Western invention. It's nothing to do with anything in Vedic culture. If you don't salute the flag when it goes up, then you're considered, you could be imprisoned. Nonsense. It's all nonsense. But Krishna says, I'm quoting from Shastra. So, yatirta, or one who goes to the holy place and thinks, let me take a bath there. Then everything is done. My work is done. I've quoted this many times, this from late 1970s or 1980s. I was sometimes living at our ISKCON center in Calcutta, or going back and forth from Bangladesh, sometimes I go. So there was an accountant there. There were two of them. One was Das and the other was Das Gupta. Typical Bengali Kayasta names. So even though they were working all day in the temple, they weren't much inclined to bhakti. So around this time of year, one of them took 2 days off to go to Ganga Sagar Mela. Around this time of year means at Makar Sankranti, which just passed. So he went there and he came back the next day. He was looking very happy. He said, now I took bath on Makar Sankranti at Ganga Sagar. So that's it. I don't have to do anything else. Now I'm liberated. That's what he thought. Now, I went there, I took bath, and now I'm liberated. No interest in the deity. Well, he was a Hindu, so he'd come in the morning and go in front of the deities like this for 1 second or so. But didn't take any interest in it. He had a job. His job was doing the accounts. He had no interest in Krishna. So Krishna condemns such people as being no more intelligent than a cow or an ass. Cow, of course, is worshipable, but not super intelligent. So we have come to this holy place of the greatest devotee, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, to glorify Krishna, to glorify the devotees. You're not ordinary pilgrims. Of course, anyone who comes here is not ordinary, anyone who has the inclination to come. Nowadays, because of the enjoying spirit which is being pumped into India, people go to a holy place and it's something like sightseeing for them. Somewhat religious idea is there, but really they have very little idea of anything religious. So they take photos against the seashore, and they don't really have any idea what it means to visit a holy place. Often also, kathas are arranged here. Professional Bhagavad speakers or Ramayan speakers, they go to holy places and they have kathas. Some piety is there. We have come here to hear and chant, specifically Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoho, hear and chant about Krishna. In this regard, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai, Shravan Madde Jive Kon Shrestha Shravan, for the living beings in this world, what is the best thing they should hear about? Because we're always hearing about something. Shrota Vyadini Rajendra Nrinang Santi Sahasrasha Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Grihamedinam. Materialistic people, they're also engaged in hearing and chanting. They have so many things to talk about. So much to talk about. This internet has expanded the potential for prajalpa unlimitedly. Now you can have prajalpa, useless talk, with people all over the world. And you can broadcast it everywhere. They have so many things to discuss, but they're not interested. They don't see the need for Atma Tattva, knowledge of the soul and Krishna. So the answer given by Ramananda Rai was Radha Krishna Prema Keli Karna Rasayan. The topics of the pastimes, of the loving activities of Radha and Krishna, that is like a tonic for the ear, which is tired, worn out from lifetimes and lifetimes of hearing all topics which are extraneous to our actual self-interest. So we shall be discussing topics connected with Krishna, not... I don't plan to speak exactly about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, but following the example of Srila Prabhupada speaking on topics which are relevant to preparing us for that. So I'll finish now. I won't take any questions. Please go and take prasad. The breakfast time, you should take some grains. Oh, I didn't write it down, but it's around now anyway. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you again for coming, and you can announce what is the next program. Hare Krishna.